rules of good fortune and longevity, persisted daily in folding cranes, hoping to create senbazuru, 1,000 paper cranes strung together. When a person's dream is believed to come true, Sadako died. Sadako was 2 years old when the atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, and at 12 was diagnosed with leukemia, quote, the atom bomb disease, unquote. It's 10 a.m. here in New York City at 99.5 FM, WBAI, WBAI.org on the web. Sean Jones from his CD Roots, Conversations. That's what we need. More conversations. Coming up next, Ecologic with Donna Stein, Sally Gellert, and Ken Gale.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on prolonging
see a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And we're with Donna Stein. This is Ecologic for Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
This week, we are going to talk about some of the episodes we did with Ecologic. Was at a different time slot, and many of you may not have heard them. Ken, Sally, and I had such fun reminiscing last week when we decided to go back to our own website to see what shows had follow-ups to tell you about and what's just brought back good memories. We'll talk about Native Plants, Cop City, Liberty State Park, Birding with Chris Cooper, East Palestine and Other Derailments, Animal Behavior, and Magic.
First, though, a few weeks ago, a caller asked about alternative fuels, particularly ethanol. Ethanol is touted as a clean alternative to gasoline, but it's made from corn, which uses huge amounts of fertilizer, herbicides, and pesticides when grown, and all of those are made from petroleum. Growing ethanol uses more fossil fuel than it saves, plus it has taxpayer subsidies. Just as important is the fact that at our current level of energy use, there is not enough land to both feed us and supply our energy needs. Land has more important uses than growing food crops for fuel, especially as efficiency can take care of most of our energy needs. Efficiency puts money into your pocket. Hundreds, even thousands of efficient buildings using one-tenth the energy have been already built, including apartment buildings in New York City. Mass transit saves using private cars and the gasoline that powers most of them. Cars and trucks can be made more efficient as well. Electric vehicles may help, particularly if the electricity comes from renewable sources. But does scrapping all our vehicles to manufacture all new ones make sense? EVs also use minerals that need to be mined, which with environmental consequences. Supporting ethanol is supply-side thinking. A focus on users and uses of energy makes people and businesses more efficient.
Ethanol got a big push during the George W. Bush administration in the early 2000s when they learned that ethanol uses more fuel than fossil fuel than gasoline and pleases Midwest voters. We've done some researchers group reports that the EPA's analysis shows the corn ethanol achieves a greenhouse gas reduction between 1/6 and 1/3, depending on how it's produced, when compared to gasoline. Of course, that does not seem to take into account the petroleum-based fertilizer, herbicides, and pesticides that go into the crop. In both June and July, a record 57% of the crop went into biofuel use, more than was used for domestic food consumption. With renewable fuel capacity expected to nearly double in the year ahead, it seems that a greater share of domestic soybean oil will be used for fuel. The food versus fuel price war looks to be just getting started. That can't be good for any of us. For decades, switchgrass and sorghum have been touted as environmental sources of biofuel that need less petroleum to grow. But the agribusiness tied to biofuels and commodity subsidies has stuck with corn oil and soybean oil. The source of the ethanol matters, not so much corn versus sugar cane versus soy, but food crop versus waste material. Using cellulosic biofuels, as the original crop concept was envisioned, means using a waste product, giving farmers an extra source of revenue. However, industry has its tricks. Tim Weiss reports in his book, Eating Tomorrow, Brazil's sugarcane-based ethanol is considered advanced, with a GHG reduction score of 50%. So the United States has met part of its advanced fuel mandate by importing Brazilian ethanol, then exporting environmentally inferior U.S. corn ethanol back to Brazil.
Crazy.
Some carbon reduction spewed right back into the atmosphere by shipping emissions. The two countries trade ethanol with one another for no reason other than gaming the renewable fuel standard to create a market for ever more U.S. ethanol beyond our 15 billion gallon cap. Meanwhile, he says, in Guatemala, import dependence for corn went from 9% in the early 1990s to about 40% in 2019, almost all from the USA, increasing the cost the equivalent of six times the USA's agricultural aid to Guatemala in 2010, nearly as much as USA food aid to that country, where nearly half of the children under five are malnourished. He quotes Guatemalan farm labor union leader, Misael Gonzalez. There are pros and cons to biofuel, but not here. These people don't have enough to eat. They need food. They need land. They can't eat biofuel, and they don't drive cars.
Ecologic is a fierce proponent of green spaces for people to enjoy. We have done shows on East River Park, Liberty State Park, the Botanical Gardens Neighborhood Struggles, Community Gardens, and more. Governor's Island is an oasis that has been enjoyed for decades at no charge for residents of New York. It was set up by forward-thinking heroes of Green Spaces for All. Magic, the Metro Area Governor's Island Coalition, formed to stop the moneyed interest destruction of the safeguards put in place long ago so that the community can enjoy the precious resource. Here is a current update from Magic. A reorganized legal team recently filed a strong appeal brief in the lawsuit to overturn the 2021 Governor's Island rezoning. It is supported by an amicus brief led by District 1 City Council member Christopher Marte, who is joined by a number of groups, including the New York City Friends of Clearwater. The lawsuit claims that the portions of the 2021 rezoning violate the Governor's Island deed, which was intended to, quote, ensure the protection and preservation of the natural, cultural, and historic qualities of Governor's Island, and so that the island would serve as an educational and civic resource of special historic character and as a recreational and open space resource. That's what we need, folks. Magic also continues to communicate with various entities planning to develop on the island and has seen some improvement in the planning as a result. Yay, Magic. see more at govislandcoalition.org. That's govislandcoalition.org. Magic asks people to sign up to the email list and support the legal fund if they can.
It's hard to pick out just a few episodes of Ecologic to reminisce about. One of the things I like to do on Ecologic is spotlight environmental issues that are very important, but very neglected. Mm-hmm. It's often hard to find guests for shows like that. But I met a wonderful expert and enthusiast on native plants at a New York City Friends of Clearwater potluck when Donna introduced me. Hearing Iman Rashid wax ecstatic about the health, environmental, and economic benefits of native plants was a joy, and I knew she'd be a wonderful ecologic guest. Native plants are so well suited to the environments they live in that they support more species and greater numbers of butterflies, bees, birds, and mammals than non-native plants do, as well as being more efficient in terms of how much oxygen they give us and how much carbon dioxide they take out of the air, probably because of matching microbial soil populations. Garden stores usually sell all or mostly non-native plants, originally because that's how they made the greatest profit. But now it's as much because non-native plants are what people are used to because that's all they see in garden stores. There is also an economic incentive for the store to sell non-native plants. Non-native plants usually don't thrive in an alien landscape and must be fed fertilizers and often purchased again and again. Non-native plants that do thrive often do too well, becoming invasive and squeezing out dozens of native species and the birds, butterflies, bees, and other critters that need them. Native plants need very little care because this is where they live. They evolved along with this environment. The way I just told you wasn't nearly as much fun as the way Iman told it. I urge you to listen to the June 24th episode of Ecologic. It's linked from our website, www.ecoradio.org, and from WBAI.org. Just scroll down to June 24, 2023.
The New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, DEP, is moving ahead with the comprehensive Liberty State Park Revitalization Program in three phases that correspond to the interior, northern, and southern waterfront areas of the park. First to be addressed is the 235-acre interior area of Liberty State Park, more than one quarter of the size of New York Central Park. Its legacy industrial pollution has kept it from ever being open to the public. Phase 1A includes the DEP and the Army Corps of Engineers cleaning up the contamination and constructing ecological restoration projects that will provide both access and critical flood and climate resilience benefits to the park and its neighborhood. In addition, more than 50 acres of land will be prepared, and planning has begun for an athletics hub at the park's southern end to be developed after the cleanup. Before that, active outdoor public recreation elements are planned to be created in the park's northern end. That's the phase two. The phase 1A interior area revitalization will increase the park's accessible space by 40%, almost half, and includes reintroduction of native tidal and non-tidal wetlands, meadows, and urban forests, and the creation of hilltop scenic overlooks with views of the New Jersey-New York Harbor and skyline. These features will be bound together in a 5.6-mile trail network for walking and running. We link to the DEP page on our website, ecoradio.org.
When millions of pounds of hazardous chemicals travel by rail through the community you live in and then derails, what would you do? When East Palestine, Ohio was poisoned by the derailment of toxic materials and the residents as well as the first responders got sick and worse, it was news for a short time. Then what? These horrors are not short term. The land and water and soil is in and air is despoiled. Prayers are nice, but action is required. We take you to where things stand in East Palestine almost 9 months later. Can we totally trust agencies telling residents it is safe to go back to their homes when it is in those same agencies' interest to prevent panic and avoid huge remedial expenses? Doesn't it always come down to money? At least someone is looking for answers and not just posturing. In the weeks after the Norfolk Southern train derailment in East Palestine on February 3rd of this year, residents and first responders reported increased headaches, coughs, and anxiety. Numerous industrial chemicals on board escaped into the air, water, and soil, including vinyl chloride, a known carcinogen that was intentionally released and burned from 5 train cars, purportedly to prevent an explosion, though the need for the release had been questioned. The National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine convened a committee of experts in public health, epidemiology, and emergency response to understand the health questions that remain. The committee met for a series of online discussions over the past week or so. Committee Chair Christian Malecki, Director for Environmental and Occupational Health Sciences at the University of Illinois in Chicago. Said, hopefully the workshop will frame that to really have a conversation about the impacts of the train derailment and what future research might be needed. The committee will convene again on November 6th and 7th to discuss what members learned in the October sessions and what research projects could answer further questions. We'll follow up on that for you.
Last week, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation announced that it will not bring charges against cops who shot and killed Tortuguita, an indigenous and queer activist who is protesting plans to build a massive 90 million police training complex in Atlanta's Uilani Forest. Their press release calls the use of lethal force objectively reasonable.
Huh.
Police claimed that Tortuguita was wielding a gun and had fired at an officer during the raid, but no body camera footage of the alleged attack has been found. An autopsy revealed that there was no gunpowder on Tortuguita's hands, which were raised when Tortuguita was shot 14 times. The press release says that no further information will be made available as, quote, there is a pending criminal investigation and prosecution by the state of Georgia Attorney General's office. Atlanta activists submitted signatures to put the question of Cop City on the November ballot. They have had issues throughout the process, although recently they did get a unanimous resolution from the city council calling for the signatures to be processed. The latest occurrence was the publication of the signatures, including phone numbers and addresses, though not dates of birth, on an Atlanta website. Although communications with government are generally public, personally identifiable information is generally redacted, so petition signers would have had a reasonable expectation that information other than their names would be redacted if the signatures themselves were to be posted on a public site. Activists point out that publishing such information could well be seen as an effort to add intimidation, particularly considering the police violence and unindicted murder of Tortuguita in the Uilani Forest.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, on May 27th, we played the interview we did with Chris Cooper and Drew Lanham. Chris Cooper was the black birder in Central Park who asked a white dog walker to put her dog on a leash, as she was supposed to do. And in return, she called 911 and said a black man was threatening her. It was as if she was trying to get him beaten up or killed for asking her to put her dog on a leash. He calmly videoed her 911 call, and the video went viral, getting literally millions of views.
Yeah.
Friends of mine from all over the country asked me if I knew him because I bird Central Park too. I've birded with Chris for decades. The May 27th show was only the latest time he was on WBAI. Chris was one of the four guests I brought to Ecologic for my very first Birds and Birding show back in 2002. He was on other Birds and Birding shows as well, a great guest. And before that, he was a guest on my BAI show, Nuff Said, as the writer of an online comic strip series called Queer Nation, which takes place in a universe where only gay people get superpowers, and some straight people don't like it, and some straights are fine with it. He was on the air with the penciler of the series, John Dennis, and the inker, Mercy Van Vlack. Chris Cooper, or I should call him Christian Cooper, now has a bird and birding TV show on the Disney-owned National Geographic channel. The show, Extraordinary Birder, is filmed all over the world and the second episode was Chris back in Central Park. His love and enthusiasm for birds comes through every minute, as it did when he was on Ecologic. He also makes a comics or science fiction reference on every episode. Nature for All is a DVD of our shows with Chris and Drew Lanham, a birder from Clemson University in South Carolina, and you'd really enjoy watching it. When Chris tells his stories about hawks, it's just captivating. You can find it. You can find the DVD on give2wbai.org, yours for a $40 donation. That's Nature for All, give2wbai.org, $40 donation.
And just to get everybody ready, we will be taking call-ins later on in the program. So get your questions ready about our past shows and what we're covering today. The number to call in for call-ins is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877, but not just yet. The online magazine Live Science has an article about killer whales, also known as orcas. Some of their new behaviors, different throughout the world and often destructive, include attacking yacht rudders, as we have mentioned in the past. They speak of a pod of killer whales descending upon a blue whale, killing and eating it. They present this as new behavior, but there is a reason they're called killer whales. That behavior has been known for centuries. Whales are some of the smartest animals on Earth. The formal scientific study of cetaceans, whales, is relatively new. At one point, the whaling novel Moby Dick had more natural history about whales than any other source. Herman Melville goes on for pages and pages about whales. It's not just a novel about whaling and the obsession of one man. It is also scientific information that was not available elsewhere at the time. There was an article from with photos 15 or 20 years ago in Natural History magazine about a pod of killer whales attacking a pod of sperm whales. For some reason, the sperm whales didn't go do a deep and long dive to escape, which they usually can do better than orcas. Live Science theorizes that orcas are learning and getting smarter.
Many animals learn new behaviors, use tools, and pass that knowledge on. In England, birds called blue tits learned to get the cream from milk bottles by pecking through the cardboard top, forcing companies to use plastic. All over the U.S., sharp-shinned hawks watch bird feeders for prey and also will fly toward the bird feeder, sending the prey toward the house, where they will either be stunned by hitting the house or have to fly over the building where they're more vulnerable. Lots of animals use tools, different species of nuthatches, chimps, lots of other mammals and birds. I had a Cornell hawk ornithologist on Ecologic many years ago saying that predators have to get smarter and faster to catch prey, and prey has to get smarter and faster to escape predators. And you can watch it happen at your backyard bird feeder. Scientists found headless rabbits in Scotland and were confused. Local folks said that deer and sheep were eating the rabbit skulls. It was almost surely learned behavior, presumably because the soil had such low levels of calcium that the animals needed to supplement it, and the rabbits' heads had the greatest calcium concentration. To quote Alfred Lord Tennyson, nature red in tooth and claw. Or as my friend Eric said on a nature camp weekend decades ago, as some kittens tore apart a dead rat their mother had brought them, look, Barbara, nature.
Okay. Those who have been to climate protests in the last few years will likely be familiar with this song. It is based on the Italian melody Bella Ciao, an Italian protest folk song from the late 19th century, originally sung in protest against harsh working conditions in the paddy fields of northern Italy. Here's We've Got to Wake Up, Do It Now.
We need to build a
That was "We've Got to Wake Up, Do It Now," the Flemish version. At most New York City rallies, it's a New York City Raging Granners who do this song. And they're now, they get the whole crowd going. It's great.
We'll have to get their version on the air next time or soon. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale.
There is no other station like WBAI. We have longer, more in-depth interviews than almost all mainstream programs. We're free speech radio. We don't bend to corporate advertisers at BAI or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you.
We support every environmental issue, so donation to us is like supporting many groups. Ecologic brings you actions you can take: letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions, concerts, webinars, conferences, lobbying efforts. It's all important. Your donations help us to help community groups get the word out. It's one-stop donating. And with a donation of $35 or more, you can choose a gift from our premium selections. Go to give2wbai.org and search for Eco-Logic.
Some of you are returning listeners. Welcome back. Aren't you glad many of your old favorites are still on the air? Ecologic has been on WBAI for more than 21 years. And what great new shows have you found? We often hear from people who rediscovered BAI. They appreciate our independence and the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history and a great future. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you're listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by mail or call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org.
You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts, they don't hear. You have facts, they don't have. You know about events they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it, and please show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic. Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed and want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them.
I recently got another email offering pricey environmental webinars. I looked at their list and realized that Ecologic has done shows on all of those topics, usually with better experts. We don't charge per show. This is broadcast radio. You only have to tune in. We're here for you every week. So how do Ecologic and WBAI and Pacifica pay our bills? With your help. Membership in WBAI is a fraction of what even one of those webinars charge.
When you choose to become our Ecologic BAI buddy, you're giving us the reliable source of support that we very much need and can depend on, just as you can depend on WBAI. Paying just $10 or $15 a month, more would be even more helpful to the station that's so important to you. You get not only 4 Ecologic programs, but also more than 700 hours of programming each month from which to choose. How much time do you spend listening to WBAI each month? Do you listen every day, several times a week, to your favorite shows? We're grateful that you choose to spend your time with BAI. If you listen just an hour a day, that's only 50 cents a program. Where else can you find that much value? Lots of EIPM, that's environmental information per minute and per dollar. You decide on an amount that's right for you to donate each month, and you'll be helping the radio station survive these troubled times with a sustainable stream of support. Join us as an Ecologic BAI buddy at give2wbai.org or by calling 212-209-2950.
Becoming a BAI buddy makes it easy for you to support your radio station and is a convenient and budget-friendly way to give. Renewals are automatic, but you can change your donation amount whenever you like. You're not tied into something if you don't want to be. Call 212-209-2950 and say that you want to be a BAI buddy for any amount that you want to do it in the name of Ecologic or all the AI shows, you have a choice. In just a few minutes of your time, you'll let us know that you value independent, progressive news, information, and entertainment.
You'll be proud to be doing your part to keep BAI on the air, serving our communities. You can also visit WBAI.org and click the green BAI buddy sign with the peace dove and sign up through our safe, friendly portal with thanks from us at Ecologic and WBAI.
We'd like to thank all of you who've joined WBAI with your membership gifts, especially our BAI buddies, who have made the commitment to give an amount they choose each month. If that's not you yet, we invite you to join our BAI buddies today by calling 212-209-2950 or visiting WBAI.org and clicking the green BAI buddy sign.
If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership and our premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
And now we invite you to call in with your comments and questions. With all the environmental issues that we just covered, you must have some thoughts about what you want to ask or comment about. The call-in phone number is 212-209-2877. Now's your time to call, 212-209-2877.
We'd also like to hear what were your favorite Ecologic episodes, if you have, you know, particular ones that you'd like. Also, what subjects would you like us to cover in the future?
Yeah, that's always good. We do use your comments to create new shows. So that's terrific. And so while we're waiting for your calls, we'd like to remind you about our Ecologic Science Book Club. We have two great books, Exploring Tritium Dangers and The Secret Perfume of Birds. Very different topics. They both can be yours with a donation of $75. Maybe you'd like one for yourself and one to give as a gift, but likely you will find both of them as interesting and informative as we did.
And one of the wonderful things about preparing for Ecologic is the research. We all love to learn, and we learn a lot to do each one of these shows. And I hope our enthusiasm shows as much as we feel it. Wonderful research to doing this, even the bad news, because we always have a solution to go with the problem, and we find it very important. And when we pre-interview our guests and we tell them we want to talk about solutions as well, they're so happy. They really like that. And we've got a caller, 212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
Hey, good morning. This is Jeff.
Hi.
I'm Harlan. Yes, hi. First of all, thank you.
And your name, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you heard me. Hi, good morning. This is Jay from Harlem. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah. Good morning,
okay.
Jay.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. I love your show. Always there. And I want to say thank you for having a show also where you always intentionally include solutions. Also, I was calling because is there a way on your website? I've heard different shows over the years, but I'm just wondering if there's a way on your website or through BAI, or maybe you can send an email to me. But I'm interested in making sure we don't lose certain freedoms, and I'd like to put some pressure on certain elected officials or potential elected officials. Specifically, I'm speaking about labels. So when you talk about things like all natural, we can't even rely on that. Organic. Some things say organic, some things say non-GMO. So anything that says organic should absolutely be non-GMO. So I always look for the non-GMO project label to find things. And there's more and more things, and it's actually becoming easier. Even stores like Costco and things are now carrying that. So I'm simply saying that we cannot allow these companies, corporations, to continue to be able to just, you know, buy their way in, you know, the ways that they go about doing it. These politicians sign off on it. Labeling. We have to be able to trust that. And it's just crazy. Formaldehyde and phthalates and parabens and things. And I'll stop there. I'm sure you get my point. So one, a show.
Jay, that is a great idea for an entire episode of Ecologic.
Yeah. We did have when the new GMO, genetic engineering label came out, we did do a show on that. I think it was back in January or so. And yes, there's a whole, it's so complicated and it really shouldn't be. And yeah.
And sometimes some mystery thing on the label is actually the chemical name of vitamin E. So some of the things on the label actually are good. And we need to know the difference between a chemical and a nutrient. You know, I mean, like the label, you're right. The labels are not clear and they're purposely not clear.
Right. Yeah, and how much is a serving? Yeah, you know, it's like when they say, what, 5 potato chips is a serving. And it's like, okay, it's more than just one, but 5? How many people eat 5 potato chips?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you say, oh, it's not there. There's not very much salt in these potato chips. It's like, right.
Well, then we go into the it's calorie free, yes, but it's super, super salty or has other bad things in it. So, Jay, thank you very much for the suggestion. Those is exactly what we love to have our listener input on, not only past shows, but future shows that we can do.
Do you know the date or the time that you've done your show or where I can find it? Like, I'm just trying to wonder if I could pull it up because I'd like to share and try to disseminate the information. You know, we got to build up some movement. So is there a way that you could say, oh, yeah, sure, we did a show like in January, we did a show in March, something like that? Because you have many shows on your website.
Right.
Well, I hope you want to look through all of them and enjoy yourself. But,
okay, that's a lot of shows to look through. I'm looking to see if I can find it.
Ecoradio.org is the website. Yeah, ecoradio.org.
Our food show with Janine was a good one.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you, Jay, because we have another caller, so let's go to that. 212-209-2877. And now you are on the air.
Hi there. Paul from Brooklyn. And I was wondering if there's an update on that story about you mentioned his name as being Christian Cooper, a fellow birder of yours. And I think coincidentally enough, the woman who tried to sick the cops on him also had the last name of Cooper.
Right.
Amy Cooper.
No relation.
No, I know they're not. Well, obviously.
All right, go ahead, Paul.
I just wanted to know, did she get any censure from the courts for that? I remember there was like a process started against her, obviously, because she was unjustifiably so calling the cops on this guy. And, you know, as you said, it went viral. And then...
And that was thanks to his sister, by the way. She's the one who made it go viral.
Huh? Okay.
It was Chris's sister that made that video go viral.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know that.
Chris is a very mellow guy. His sister, a bit less mellow, and she was not going to let that... dissolve into the news cycle. And she got brought up in charges for making a false 9/11 call. She lost her job. People even wrote signs and posted them in her Upper West Side neighborhood saying, get out of here. We don't want you here. I guess you could say she paid for her mistake. And Chris, when people found out what his personality was like and how well he communicated, I don't know whether National Geographic watched the video of him on Ecologic or not, but it was a joy. And I remember some listener activist telling me, you know, I'm not into birds, but that was great. I want to go birding with Chris Cooper and you. and so it's there's something special. You know, some people just have that way of communicating. He told the story of a red-tailed hawk and two different species of falcons on the roof of his East Village apartment. And it was a very dramatic telling. And I'm not going to retell it because I'm not Chris. So I would say go to the, May 20th? When, I mentioned it earlier on the show.
June 24th.
Thanks, Sally. Sally's really quick on that kind of stuff. So June 24th, you can click and you can watch a video of that episode of Ecologic. Or if you want to own the video, it's a $40 donation to WBAI. And you'll get the whole thing. And Charlie Olson of Environment TV just did some beautiful graphics on that. And I absolutely loved what Charlie did with that video, and I think you will too.
Right. And also pointing out again, you mentioned a National Geographic segment that he did, a National Geographic show.
Yeah, he's got a series.
Oh,
he's got a whole series. He goes all over the world looking at birds, and of course, yeah, he's seeing a lot of these birds for the first time in his life, and so he's just so happy about it. And his happiness is infectious. It's a fun show.
And I must say, another thing about Chris is that he was totally full of grace, and wasn't looking to have any vengeance against this woman. He was just reporting it as was, and his maturity and his peacefulness and his lack of enmity was so wonderful. It was he really is a lesson in how to
model for all of us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And just another point, Sally once again got the information we needed for Jay. The show on bioengineered labels was April 2nd, 2022. So if you want to look it up, Jay, go to April 2nd, 2022.
Yeah, the USDA decided that, you know, various states had activists calling for labels on genetically engineered food. And because, you know, like animals who will look at two different fields and eat the natural food and totally ignore the GMO field, we don't want to eat it either. So finally, because of all the states that were getting pressured to put strong GMO labels on foods, the USDA came up with a weak one. It's a pretty blue and yellow thing. It looks like a form, and it says bioengineered, because that's not as familiar a term as genetically modified, or maybe as scary. So when that came out, we had Jeffrey Smith of the Institute for Responsible Technology come and talk to us about GMO foods. And I think it's time to bring that to the fore again.
Well, thanks for all of that. And keep on keeping on, guys. Okay?
All right. Thanks for your call, Jay.
No, that was Paul. Thank you, Paul.
I mean, Paul, right. sorry, Paul. I'm sure you've been called worse. But
Okay, so the phone number is 212-209-2877, and we have another call.
You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? My name is Denise. I'm Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn, and I was listening to the two preceding callers, and it seems like we're really the endangered species these days. I was glad. You know, all kidding aside, it's so unfortunate. In particular with the GMOs, I got a text from a friend about a group of mothers. I think it's Mothers for a Safe Food. I'll text you or email you the correct name. Perhaps you can have them on. And from what I understand, the lunches that we serve in the public schools are at least 90% GMO. And we're serving them to our children. It's frightening and most unfortunate. And I would love for WBAI to pursue the resolve aspect of it much more aggressively. Even talking about the gentleman who is such a lovely man, he got some notoriety because of his background. But had he not gotten that notoriety, he could have easily been killed in that park by, you know, some careless and non-thinking law enforcement.
I'm thinking, like, you're talking about school lunches. It's like, well, the federal government supports GMOs, so state and local governments are also going to support GMOs. And, schools are a lot of their budget is tied to federal, so they have to be careful about how things are done. And you've got the battles between Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in government seems to be for GMOs, despite all the information there is about they're not as healthy. There's so many things about them. And one of the reasons they're not as healthy is because plants are not these passive things that just sit there and do nothing, right? They respond to their environment. They make all kinds of chemicals. A plant can literally make different chemicals. And when they make them in response to pests or competition from other plants, I'm not going to call them weeds because Imam taught me that that's a disparaging term that's not right.
A weed is a plant where you don't want it, but it's a perfectly good plant.
When we eat plants that have made those chemicals, our bodies go, ooh, vitamins. And so when those plants are genetically modified, they don't make those chemicals. When pesticides and herbicides are put on farmland, the plants don't make those chemicals. And that is why organic food has more vitamins in it than non-organic food.
Okay. So we thank you very much, caller. Do we have any more callers? Let me see. Let's move on. No.
it seems that Brooklyn is well represented on Ecologic today. I urge you go to ecoradio.org. That's the Ecologic webpage, ecoradio.org, and you'll find past shows galore. We describe each show. We even describe the little news bits that we have at the beginning of the show. So you can just go through it, and it's a direct link. Just click on it, and you go right to that radio show on the BAI archives.
We do have time for one more call, but we do need to make it quick.
Yeah, you've got about 30 seconds. Come on.
You're on the air.
Good morning. Thomasina from Bergen County. I came in late to the show, but not only are the school lunches not healthy, the schools are in the United States of America, the districts are making money off of the school lunches. I mean, it's outrageous. The price of the school lunch goes up, and then the schools just make more money. So not only is the school lunch not healthy, they're also, you know, public schools are making money. My point is, where the heck are the parents? I mean, what are parents doing? This is my frustration with every topic, right, on BAI. People in America are not living their lives. They're just on their phones, thinking about how they're going to drink or get high or meet with their friends. They're not.
We're going to have to leave it at that. We really are out of time. But that is why we give solutions to all the problems we give. And some other shows do that too. Some don't. But keep listening. We're here every Wednesday at 10 a.m.
And as you know, it's time to wrap up. So
time goes fast.
It does go fast. So, but I like these shows with more call-ins. We love our listeners.
We do.
Thanks for joining us. All the shows we have talked about are on the WBAI archives with direct links from our website, ecoradio.org. We have information on a wide variety of environmental issues in our archive of our past shows. And don't forget to give to WBAI.org, where you can choose a premium or join the Science Book Club.
And join us next Wednesday, November 1st at 10 a.m. To support Ecologic, you can donate any amount. Get one of our premiums. Join the Ecologic Science Book Club or become our BAI buddy.
We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging as a BAI buddy now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic, live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call like we just did and answer your questions. This show will be on the WBAR archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Wednesday, November 1st at 10 a.m. Check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar power, inexpensive energy.
WBAI New York. Stay tuned for news headlines.
I'm Max Pringle with these headlines. The House of Representatives is set to vote again for a Speaker of the House. Republicans have chosen Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson as their latest nominee for Speaker. He's the fourth candidate to try to win the gavel since Kevin McCarthy was removed earlier this month. Ben Thomas reports.
Johnson of Louisiana is a member of the House GOP leadership team, but lower ranking. A lawyer specializing in constitutional issues, he'd rallied Republicans around former President Trump's legal effort to overturn the 2020 election results.
I'm honored to have the support of my colleagues.
Johnson's the fourth nominee for Speaker and second of the day Tuesday.
Democracy is messy sometimes, but it is our system. This conference that you see, this House Republican majority, is united.
But the cycle of Republican infighting has frustrated many.
We're going to restore your trust in what we do here. You're going to see a new form of government, and we are going to move this quickly. This group here is ready to govern.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
Officials in Hamas-controlled Gaza say some 400 Israeli airstrikes pounded the region Tuesday. This comes as the White House prepares contingency plans to evacuate Americans from the region in case the conflict spreads to other areas. Sagar Magani has that story.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby calls it prudent planning.
I think it would be imprudent and irresponsible if we weren't doing some kind of contingency thinking.
But right now, Kirby stresses there are no active efforts to get Americans out of the region beyond charter flights that began earlier this month from Israel.
We're not parking ships off the coast and getting ready to send Marines in to get people out of You pick the place over there.
Kirby spoke as the death toll in Gaza soared amid a barrage of Israeli airstrikes, and the number is expected to grow once Israel launches an expected ground offensive.
Innocent civilians are going to be hurt going forward. I wish I could tell you something different. I wish that that wasn't going to happen, but it is going to happen.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
President Biden is hosting Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese for a state visit that's intended to deepen the partnership between the two allies. The visit will feature a lavish state dinner at the White House today. The leaders are working on economic development partnerships that are intended to bolster Pacific Island nations. They're also pushing to arm Australia with U.S.-made nuclear-powered submarines. The initiatives are intended to counter China's influence in the region, which is one of President Biden's top foreign policy goals. The White House says it's an important time to demonstrate the long-standing partnership between the two nations. New court documents say an off-duty airline pilot who tried to cut the engines on a flight in midair told police he'd been struggling with depression and had taken psychedelic mushrooms before the flight. More from Ed Donahue.
More charges are being filed against an off-duty pilot who tried to cut the engines on a Horizon Air flight. Federal prosecutors are charging Alaska Airlines pilot Joseph Emerson with interfering with a flight crew. It can carry up to 20 years in prison.
We've got the guy that tried to shut the engines down out of the cockpit.
State prosecutors in Oregon already filed 83 counts of attempted murder. He pleaded not guilty to the charges. Court documents show the captain and first officer told police after the plane landed, Emerson told them, "I'm not okay," just before he reached up to pull the handle.